Good evening, everyone. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. In this study, we have been reminded that the people of Malachi's day had doubted God's love. They despised God's name. They defiled God's altar. They degraded God's standards. They disregarded God's entreaties. They denied God's portion. And lastly, tonight, we consider from chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, they were depreciating God's church. Chapter 3, verse 13, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye said, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts." What a charge that God would have to say to his people. You have said it is vain to serve God. Now listen, my brother, my sister in Christ, have you ever entertained a thought like that? I think I would have to confess, that I have come close, if not guilty of it altogether. In thinking, well, you know, I've tried to do the best I can. People don't seem to appreciate. There is criticism. And after all, no one else seems to be very much concerned about this or that. Or the other aspect of service? Well, they were saying it's vain to serve God. So I thought, in this closing message of this study, we would consider just what Christian service means. There are times we have difficulty in knowing whether this particular thing or that particular thing is the will of God for our lives. When it comes to Christian service, when it comes to serving the Lord and thus serving one another, there is no doubt, no need for us to struggle over this matter. We are to serve the Lord. Jesus said to Satan, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Matthew 4:10. Paul said about God, "Whose I am and whom I serve." Acts 27:23. Paul said to the Christians at Thessalonica, when he commended them, he turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Paul summed it up this way, "For to me to live is Christ." The commencement of my life now as a believer is Christ. The continuation of my life is Christ. The consummation of my life is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. Now, in thinking of Christian service, its meaning, maybe we should consider right off what Christian service is not. And I would think, that this is quite familiar, that this is very elementary to those of you gathered here tonight. Christian service is not part payment for our salvation. Service for the Lord is not atonement for past sins. We are not saved by good works, but we're certainly saved through good works, aren't we? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not, or this not of yourselves, it is, that is, salvation is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, we are his poema, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I cannot work my soul to save, for this my Lord has done, but I would work like any slave in love to God's dear Son. So service to the Lord is not for salvation or for any part of salvation. What does Christian service mean? Does it mean going to some far distant land as a missionary? Well, that might be included for some. Does it mean being engaged in full-time activity here for the Lord? That might be God's call for some. And you know, just thinking of this, I think of some people who get a little touchy. They get a little uptight when you speak of full-time Christian service. They might say, well now, brother, we should all be full-time servants. Well, that's right. That's true. I have struggled to come up with some term to indicate commended workers, and that in itself is a little misleading, because we should all be commended workers, approved of God, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth, but at least. We use terms, and hopefully others will understand what we mean by using such terms. Yes, going to some far distant place as a missionary, or being engaged in a full-time way apart from secular work, might be involved in your service for the Lord. It might mean being active in some public way for the Lord. You have heard me say, and I believe it, that there is a difference between the Lord's work and the work of the Lord. You might not agree with me, but I'm inclined to believe that there is a difference. Is it 1 Corinthians 15:58? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those of Malachi's day were saying it is vain to serve God. The Word of God assures us it is not in vain. But I'm stressing just now the work of the Lord. We are to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, whose ministry it is to make Christ real in us and through us. But I do believe that we Christians can be engaged in the Lord's work, and I use that in a general type of way. We can be engaged in the Lord's work without ever doing the work of the Lord. That is, in addition to doing the Lord's work overall, in all that we say and do, God would have a specific task for us to do, the work of the Lord. And I believe we can do the Lord's work without doing the work of the Lord. Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 stresses the fact that we are to discriminate. We are to discern things that are excellent. Just the other day, I was reading something that I have read over and over at one time or another in many writings, Christian writings. But I saw it just the other day, I forget where, that the good is the enemy of the best. The good is the enemy of the best. And I said, well, what's wrong with this or that or the other? Might not be anything wrong with it, but is it what God wants us to do? Is this the specific task that He wants us to do? And we are to discern that which is excellent. I don't think it calls for a great deal of discernment to judge between the good and the bad. It's surprising to what extent even unsaved people can tell us what's good and what's bad. But when it comes to judging between the good and the best, then that calls for discrimination. That calls for spiritual discernment. And how can we correctly discern that which is perfect? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Lord said, whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. That's the key, isn't it? Because of Christ. A cup of water to drink in my name. Because ye belong to Christ. Verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Mark 9:41. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I believe Christian service is summed up, in addition to other portions, it's summed up in what Paul said in Colossians 3, verses 17 and 24. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed. Let me just pause right there. Because I think we tend to put the emphasis on the deed. You know we render service to the Lord by what we say? And we render disservice by what we say. Like the one person who said, oh, listen, I know I lose my temper. And I know I fly off the handle and I say things that I would like to retract later. I say things that I shouldn't say. But after a little bit, it's all over and I calm down and I'm okay. Yes, it's like a shotgun blast. Only lasts for a second or two. Then it's over. But think of the damage that's done. Would to God we would think more about this in what we say. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 24, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Think of a factory. There might be 50 people working in this factory, primarily doing the same thing. But one of the 50 is a Christian. And that one is dedicated to the Lord, taking each day with the realization that he or she belongs to the Lord, that they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, that they are to be a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ, an ambassador for Him. They are to redeem the time, buying up the opportunities, because time is short. It's so valuable. And that one out of the 50 who goes through the same routine as the other 49, with that attitude, is serving Christ, whereas the 49 without me. So as to Christian service, whatever we do, and I know I have said it many times, surely others have, don't do something for the Lord. Do everything for Him. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do for His honor and glory. Christian service. It's meaning. Christian service, it means. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. That word lusteth, we might tend to think of something bad when we think of that word. You remember in, is it Luke 22, where the Lord Jesus said, it is with desire that I eat the Passover with you? That's the same word. And what Paul is stressing is that we believers have two natures. Because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, we have been made partakers of God's divine nature, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1. And so as Christians, we have two natures. We have that old nature that cannot cease from sinning, and we have that new nature of God that cannot sin. And these are contrary, the one to the other. But you know, when we were saved, we did not receive two bodies. We still have just one body, right? So we have two natures. And so, the Holy Spirit who dwells within desires, and the word conveys a deep desire, a longing desire. The Holy Spirit desires to have full control, full sway. But that old sinful nature wants to have its way, and both use the same body. Well, that is the conflict, isn't it? We well know it. We well know it. We can use this body for righteousness as we are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, or we can use it for unrighteousness as we give way to self, to these natural desires. And so Paul speaks about and emphasizes the contrast between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. Either we're going to be controlled by this old nature, and we're going to look at others and look at service the same way people of the world do. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? It is only through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God that we serve the Lord and thus serve one another. Oswald Smith said, God has given us sickles not to use on one another, but for the harvest. And we are to fight the good fight of faith, not face to face, but back to back. It seems oftentimes we're fighting it face to face. So the contrast that Paul is giving is that the old nature knows no law. The new nature needs no law. Now, I'm showing my ignorance. I'm not sure just the political terms that you would use here in the Bahamas. But back in the States, suppose we were to go to the city council or to the state legislature and to plead with them to pass a law that fruit would be produced. Suppose we were to say to the lawmakers, listen, I haven't been doing very well with my crops lately. I mean, I've had one problem after another. Would you please pass a law that fruit would be born? Well, they would probably call for the men in the white coat to take me away. You see, fruit doesn't come from the law, it comes from life. And when we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have His way, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God working in and through us is Christian service. Is Christian service. In word or deed. So we cannot do it by mustering up strength within ourselves. We can't have the attitude, I'll do it my way. No, it's the Lord, have your way in my life. You know, I think of Absalom who rode the mule. That beast that's thought of as a wild, uncontrollable beast oftentimes. And that beast took him to his death, actually. And we might be inclined to think, well, you know, I do have this old sinful nature. I well know it. And I have such difficulty in this conflict between the two natures. Remember the Lord Jesus, in fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy, rode upon the colt of an ass upon which never man sat. But the Lord Jesus had no problem, no difficulty. And when we allow Him to have His way, that old sinful nature will be kept under control. And the Holy Spirit of God will produce this fruit. Fruit comes from life. Well, what about Christian service, its motive? The Lord Jesus said, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. What is our motive for doing any act of service? What is our motive? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if one died for all, this is what verses 14 and 15. If one died for all, then we're all dead, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again. And as we have read from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul said, ye serve the Lord Christ. 17 and verse 24. Ye serve the Lord Christ. What is our motive in doing what we do? Whether it's in our individual lives, whether it's in the corporate testimony, what is our motive for doing what we do? The Lord Jesus, in dealing with Peter had denied the Lord 3 times, you remember. And the Lord had to deal with him privately. And we believe, we read evidence of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we read he was seen of Cephas. The risen Lord Jesus Christ was seen of Cephas. We don't know anything at all about that meeting other than what that verse says. He was seen of Cephas. And then of the others. Even above 500 at one time. But he was seen of Cephas. So after denying the Lord dealt with him privately. That's the scriptural order. And then it had to be dealt with publicly to whatever extent a sin was committed. So in John chapter 21, the Lord dealt with him publicly. The Lord said, Peter, do you agape me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. It's the same word love in our English translation. But the Lord used one word, Peter used another. Peter, do you agape me? That highest form of love he had boasted, remember. All the others, all of you might forsake him. I'm not going to forsake you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? And I just picture Peter having his head hanging down. I don't know that that was the case. I think I would have mine hanging down. And he said, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. Thou knowest that I'm fond of thee. And the Lord the second time said, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter the second time said, Lord, I phileo thee. And the third time, the Lord used his word. Peter, do you phileo me? He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I phileo thee. Well, with each question, he gave him a commission for service. And my point being, what was the motive? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's the motive. John said, we love him because he first loved us. To know him is to love him. And to love him is to serve him. This is what we have been reading and considering from the little book of Malachi. To love him is to serve. We were reminded on the Lord's Day that the Lord spoke to the Christians at Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, about their works, their labor, and their patience. Paul, in commending the Christians at Thessalonica, spoke about their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. Well, why would we not read the same wording in connection with the Christians at Ephesus? Why would the Lord simply say, I know your works, your labor, and your patience? What made the difference? They had left their first love. And that makes the difference. And you know, it's possible for us to be engaged in, and I'm going to use that broad term once again, it's possible for us to be engaged in the Lord's work, and to stand faithfully for the fundamentals of the faith without having the right attitude toward Christ. Paul must have foreseen this when he wrote, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. And he speaks about doing so many other things, and he says, if I don't have love, then I'm just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Christian service, it's motive, not duty. We are not to do what we do out of a sense of duty. I remember reading some years ago, I believe it was in one of Harry Ironside's expositional books, in dealing with doing what we do out of love for the Lord Jesus. And Brother Ironside told about the widower who advertised for someone to take care of the house, to clean the house and to, you know, do certain chores in connection with maintaining the house, maybe preparing a meal or two, whatever was involved. The widower advertised for a worker. Well, this woman responded and she was hired to do the job. They sat down and went over exactly what her duties would be. Maybe she said, I don't know that Harry Ironside said it, but she might have said, I don't do windows. But the duties were spelled out, and she went on fulfilling her responsibilities as a hired servant. But as the story goes, the widower began to take more and more notice of this woman. And in due course of time, he proposed to her. She accepted. She became his wife. And she went on doing all of these duties. And I would think cleaning the windows too. Without any taste in mind. What made the difference? What made the difference? Say it. What made the difference? Love, of course. Love. I remember some years ago, maybe I told you this. Surely by now I've told you everything I know. But I remember some years ago, Louise had been sick, I mean in bed, sick for 2 months. So I had her responsibilities, which I gladly did. She'll tell you that. Looking after the children, taking care of her, along with my responsibility. And so at the end of 2 months, I gave a report. At the close of the Lord's Supper one Sunday morning, I gave a report to the Christians. So many had been asking about her, so I gave a report. And I said, now, while I'm standing here, let me take my hat off, figuratively speaking. I don't wear a hat, but figuratively speaking, let me take my hat off to all of you homemakers. Sometimes you might ask, do you work? No, I'm a homemaker. I said, well, let me take my hat off to all of you homemakers. I said, I was reading an article just a few days ago, and I'm going back about 20 years. I don't know what the rate, the monetary rate would be today, but I said to the people at the Lord's Supper, I said, I read an article just a couple of days ago where some had very diligently gone over most, if not all, of the chores that the average homemaker, the average wife and mother would do in looking after the home, looking after the children. And if you don't believe me, just speak to Brother Hank after this meeting, and he'll tell you something about it. And I said, the writer of this article said that the average homemaker, the average woman today, if she were paid the going rate, would make about $72,000 a year. So let me take my hat off to you homemakers. Well, mind you, the brethren were mad at me for about 2 weeks. No, we don't do what we do out of duty. Nor do we do it out of fear. You remember the man in the parable said, I knew that thou art an austere man. He did what he did out of fear. We don't serve the Lord out of fear. And we don't serve the Lord out of reciprocation. Now, there is that side of it. We love him because he first loved us, and the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one dies, then we're all dead, and so on. But I mean, it's not the thought that, alright, you did something for me. You see, because in thinking about serving the Lord, we're talking about serving people. How do we manifest our love for the Lord? By loving one another. By loving one another. This is not Danielle coming, is it? By loving one another. Well, even what we do in the way of Christian service, if we did it out of love for people, you might run into some people who say, well, I just love people. I just love serving people. Well, that's a good motive, but that's not the highest motive, because somewhere in life you're going to run across someone that you don't love as much. I realize what I said the other day. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. But you know what I mean. I mean, there are some people we don't care to be around for long. And if we are doing what we do simply out of reciprocation or even love for people, then we'll develop that attitude that when we think we've done enough, then we'll stop. Now it's his or her turn. No, it has to be out of love for Christ. Very quickly. Christian service, it's measure. That is the standard. What is the measure for Christian service? Christ himself. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the Lord said, as I read from John chapter 13, if I be your master and Lord, and I wash your feet, then wash one another's. He is the measure. He took upon him the form of a servant. You know, but sometimes we have an attitude, all right, I know I'm supposed to be a servant for the Lord, but don't treat me like a servant. Well, as the perfect servant, he was obedient unto death. And Christian service, it's manifestation. We see from Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 5, there is coming that day when we are going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. It will be a time of revealing. It will be a time of reviewing. It will be a time of rewarding. And what was not actuated by the Holy Spirit, what was not according to the Word of God, what was not accomplished for the glory of God, will be consumed by the fiery test. Our motives will be examined. Our methods will be examined. Yes, and our measure will be examined. But those of Malachi's day, they were guilty of all of these charges. As to the word, it was too exacting. No desire. As to the walk, it was too narrow. There was no delight. As to the work, it was too difficult. There was no dedication. It is not in vain to serve the Lord. Now, remember and just meditate what Paul said. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know your labor is not. He didn't say will not be in vain. It is not in vain. But you see, one of our problems is short-sightedness. We are looking at the here and now. Let us keep in mind that in doing what we do, in word or deed, as believers, being led and guided by the Holy Spirit of God, we're dealing in eternal values and not the temporal, not the immediate. We're dealing in eternal values. So it may not be appreciated. We might feel that we're the only ones who really care about this or that or the other. Well, let's do what we do for Christ, for his honor and glory, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I was going to have us to sing, but let's just look at the words as we close of 445. Let's just look at the words. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrow. May the love of Jesus fill you as the waters fill the sea. Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, see only him. Let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank thee for our time tonight and for this month in this study of Malachi. And I realize, Father, that this is familiar ground. We have heard these things so many times. But Father, I pray that we will not let the familiarity of these things rob us from the truthfulness and the seriousness of them. And may we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have full sway, that Christ might be a reality in our life. May it be so for his honor and glory. We pray. Amen.